Thank you for joining me today on Bible Foundations. It's a joy to have you with us. I'm Jerry Smythe, your host, and what a thrill it is that we see God in action in the creation of the earth, in the creation of the heavens and the earth, the total environment made for mankind, God's special gift, and God is getting it all ready because He's made the heavens and the earth to please Himself and made it just for you and I, my friend. That's coming, how He made you and I, but what a joy it is to recognize that God is in control of all things. You see, it's through faith that we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. God had the whole atomic structure all in His plan long before He created it, and now we see Him in action doing just that. The entire Bible heralds the truth of God's creative power and how that He demonstrated to us what He wants us to know about Him, the Almighty One, the One who is beyond our comprehension, the One who is called God, the singular meaning, Elohim, with a plural understanding. God has given us an understanding of Himself that says that He's infinitely greater than we can put together. Why is it that we have trouble understanding God creating things out of nothing? Because our understanding is not mixed with faith. We see that God did it, and when we believe and come to Him by faith, we understand His possibilities, because they're far greater than you and I. The entire Bible confirms creation as it happened, and we saw from Jeremiah 32:17 that the prophet Jeremiah said, "Ah, Lord God, behold, Thou hast made the heaven and the earth by Thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for Thee." And then Isaiah 45:18 said, "For thus saith the Lord." See, God's telling us again at that point in time that the Lord, "Thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God Himself that formed the earth and made it, He hath established it. He hath not created it in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else." You see, He's the top authority. There is no one who is infinitely supreme and all-powerful as He is. He is the final authority in all things. You see, the heavens even declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day it uttereth speech, and night unto night it showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. You see, the power of God is displayed in the universe as we see Him creating all that we understand our environment to be, and much, much more. For the more we study it, the more we learn of its complexities, and the more it displays the awesome knowledge and power and character of God Himself. You see, Romans 1:20 reminded us in our last time together that the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that all mankind is without excuse. And then the Apostle Paul, the writer of Romans, recorded in chapter 11:33, "Oh, the depth of the riches of both the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are His judgments, and His ways past finding out! For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been His counselor? Friend, there was no one there to be His counselor. He is God, and He exists by the very essence of Himself. He always has, and He always will, and He delights in communicating with you and I. Why? Because He wants us to know Him. He wants us to know how to know Him." And He recorded these early sessions that we're studying right from the first chapter of Genesis because He was the only one that was there who could tell us how it happened. And that's precisely what He's done. So now let's carry on with our study of God in action, creating the universe. In verse 2, we saw that the Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters, and God said, you see, God made something out of nothing. He made all of the elements that would be water and earth, and there were void, and there was darkness upon the face of the deep that he had created. And the Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters. The Spirit of God was the motivating force of God the Father. God the Holy Spirit caused it to come into being as God the Son spoke, as God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Light before there was even a sun and a moon, my friend. It's interesting that scientists have just recently discovered that light existed before the sun and the moon. That's what it says right here in the Bible. And God saw that the light that he made was good, and he was able to divide the light from the darkness. You and I can't do that, but God did it, and he called it day, and he called it night. And then he said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. Friends, that's a status and a sphere of firmament that you and I don't comprehend, because it doesn't exist that way today, as we'll see as we go along in our foundational studies. Now, these truths that we're seeing as we lay the foundational characteristics of God himself in our understanding are to show us how to respond to a God that loved us so much he desired that we communicate with him. Now, let's move on and see how he continues his mighty acts of creation. Now, we want to point out again that the facts that the Bible presents about creation is God's true record of creation. It is not a theory. It is the truth, my friend. It has not and it will not change. God has not changed his mind about creation, and he has not changed his mind about his telling us about it and how he did it. He didn't get mixed up somewhere along the line, my friend. We see through the consistency of the Word of God that as one book, it heralds the truths that we're telling you about today. That God is the sovereign creator. He is the all-powerful God, the three-in-one, the all-knowing one, the God who exists by his own power, the holy and perfect God. Now follow along with me in Genesis chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, as we see God demonstrating his awesome ability, his awesome power. "For he and he alone knew how to make something out of nothing," and that's precisely what he did. He created the elements and put them together in just the forms that we're seeing right here in Genesis chapter 1. Read along with me in verse 9. "And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so." Verse 10, "And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called the seas. And God saw that it was good." While by the very exercise of his own will and his spoken word, God gathers the waters into the seas, and he makes the dry ground appear. Now, have you ever witnessed the devastation caused by a flood or a tidal wave? Now, just what is it that man can do to stand against these mighty forces, much less commanding them? Imagine the power involved in shaping the seas all in a day. Only God, Almighty God, could command the waters encircling the earth to move and make the dry ground appear. Psalm 95, verse 5 tells us, "The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land." This is a living God in action, my friend here. That's what we see about him. We see his creative power as a God being alive with a will and a mind, and he plans these things and he causes them at his will to come into being. God is all-powerful and God is all-knowing. God alone made the waters of the earth, and God alone can control them. You and I can't control them. We try to make man-made dikes and levees and things of that nature to control them, but you know what? They're feeble at the very best. We claim that we have flood control measures, but we do have some success at making some efforts at flood control. But my friend, our flood control fails. But God divided the waters and they stayed there. Do you see the awesome power of God? Now let's move on to verse 11. "And God said, let the earth bring forth the grass, and the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Verse 13, and the evening and the morning were the third day. You know, grass is so common that we take it for granted. But do you know how to make grass? You see, God not only knew how to make grass, but he knew how to make all of the plants in the trees. And he made each one of them different. He made each one with the ability to have seeds of its own kind. And when that seed falls to the ground of that kind, it reproduces itself. God planned it. He put it in order. And that's the very thing that happens to this day. You see, God alone has the power to create plant life. Now, the more that scientists study plant life, the more complexities they discover. God, in his infinite wisdom, was able to create all plant life and to perfectly suit every single kind to the rest of the earth's systems that he was creating. God made plants to produce the seeds, which would produce more plants just like the originals. A fir tree doesn't produce petunia seeds, my friend. It produces other fir trees. And petunias produce petunias. Isn't that marvelous? Now, I'm sure you've made things that you really liked. Perhaps you're a craftsman. Maybe you've made something out of wood. Or maybe you've created other things that you have planned for your use. And you've made them only to have them wear out. Now, if you want another one like it, you have to start all over again. But when God created the plant life, he put within each plant the capability to bear seed which could sprout into new plants just like the first one. God, and God alone, is the giver and sustainer of life, my friend. Plants we have today came from those very seeds that God created in the very beginning. Now, why did God make flowers and trees and plants? Do you think God needed them? Certainly he did not. He's not limited to human capabilities like we are. He doesn't have to have air to breathe. He doesn't need food to eat to stay alive. He doesn't need light or darkness. It's all the same to him. He can see just as well in the dark as he can in the light. But you see, God didn't need them because he's independent of all these things. He doesn't need anything. God made the plants and the trees for man, who he was going to create next. He made them just for man because it's a demonstration of his love. Now, God made the plants to meet our physical needs, man's physical needs, to provide food to eat, to give off oxygen for the air that we breathe, and to provide wood for building, and to provide many other things which are absolutely essential to our way of life. But my friend, God made the plants just to delight us with his love for us. He didn't have to make such a variety of colors and sizes and shapes and flavors and fragrances. A few kinds would have met our needs. But you see, God is a God of love. And here we see the demonstration of his love to mankind. God could have made everything black and white, but instead he created more colors than we can count. How many shades of green are there, my friend? Well, if you're a good Irishman like I am, you're very impressed with the colors of green. But God was impressed with them. He made lots of them, my friend. Well, now I realize I've got a little personal heresy in here. But do you see the God of color? The God of color that didn't run out of shades of any color. And he made such a vivid, spectacular display that I notice we scatter those colors all over our yards in the spring, and we love to see well-groomed flower gardens, and many people spend much of their lives just seeing their gardens taken care of, because here is a demonstration of God's unlimited ability as he creates colors that could be seen by the eyes of man that he would soon create. Now, God also could have made everything tasteless. He doesn't need taste buds. He doesn't need to eat. But you know what? He made those flavors for you and I. He made taste buds in you and I to make them, or to taste them. And that's just exactly what he did with the fragrances. Oh, I remember walking through the jungles of Borneo as I was a missionary out there and smelling the different fragrances that God had had given out there. Now, the colors were different in different ways. We had lots of orchids out there. But one of the most overwhelming things came from a green plant that you wouldn't even have noticed. I wouldn't have noticed normally. But the overwhelming fragrance of the roses. Yep, that's what I thought of, was roses. And I was looking all over in the jungles for those roses, and they weren't there. But God had put the fragrance of a rose in a green budding vine and tree that just overwhelmed the other fragrances of the jungles. Some of them weren't so pleasant, but boy, this one was. And what a joy it was to recognize God's creative power when you smelled the rose that didn't even look like a rose. And then there are the roses. Such a variety. Well, man's learned how to make a hybrid of the roses and of the other plant life. He's learned how to make what he thinks is a bigger and a better corn, and a bigger and better this, and bigger and better that, and different colors and varieties. But you know what about those hybrids that man puts together? They don't reproduce. God's originals still reproduce, you see. And God made us a variety because he wanted us to be reminded daily of his great love and his care for mankind. He made the earth not just beautiful or livable, but he made it truly beautiful. In the plants, we see that God is a God of order, that he is an absolute master designer. Now just take a look at each flower. Each flower has a kind of an identifying pattern that makes it recognizable as that kind of a flower. The tiny seed from which it grew contained certain characteristics which always produce that kind of flower with that kind of an orderly petal and stem arrangement and with that kind of a fragrance. Now that's just looking at it from a superficial perspective, just standing there looking at a flower. Now what if you were to take that same flower and put it under a magnifying glass? You know what you'd see? You'd see other patterns and characteristics that only appear in that kind of a flower. If you took a tiny slice of a petal or a stem and put it under a microscope, you would see still more clearly the orderly arrangements of the minute cells and characteristic of that kind of a flower. Listen, all of these things are there to show us that there is a master designer. Now suppose you had a handful of marbles and you dropped them onto the floor. Would they fall into a beautiful pattern? Well, just suppose they did happen to fall in a beautiful pattern. Do you think you could scoop them all together and drop them again and have the same pattern over and over again? No, you know you couldn't do that. Now then, what if you took those same marbles and placed them one by one into a pattern of your choosing? You could do that over and over again because you designed the patterns and ensured its repetition. You see, your design would not be a product of chance. It would be the work of a designer, which in this case is you. You see, what God has created endlessly reflects the work of him as a master designer of everything. When you see a design, bear in mind that there's a designer behind it. And when you see a design in the plants and flowers or any other part of creation, you just remember from that design that God is the one who is being reflected in that very design. It didn't just happen. God designed it all. Everything that God created on this day, the third day, was good. And all the plants were beneficial and lovely and created perfect. Thorns and weeds did not exist at this time. There were no fruit that was poisonous. The vegetables and the fruit did not get diseases, nor did they spoil. Everything in the beginning was perfect. Why was everything in the beginning perfect? Because God is perfect, and he made everything perfect. Now let's go back to Genesis chapter 1, verses 14 through 19. And God said, friends, only a living God can speak with a mind, you see, and he expresses himself here, and here's what he said. Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs, and for seasons, and for days, and for years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. You see, when God speaks, it has to happen. That's what happened. God spoke. God said, he said what he wanted to happen, and then it came to pass. And it was so. Verse 16 says, "And God made two lights, great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. And he made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good." God has eyes, my friends. He's a living God. He has a mind to think and speak and plan. And he expresses himself. And he saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Now, in the last few decades, man has learned more about the universe than he knew in all previous generations. We now have powerful telescopes, controlled radio beams, electronic devices, and space travel. All of these are products of this century that we live in. Men have set foot on the moon, and space probes orbit the Earth and travel outward through our solar system, gathering amazing new data. But, oh, my friend, the more we study, the more we really are learning is that we know very little about this solar system that includes planet Earth. And we know even less about our galaxy, the Milky Way. And we know still less about the endless reaches of universe. Now, we've assembled many facts and figures about distance, and yet none of us can begin to really fathom the immensity of the universe. For instance, light. Traveling at 186,000 miles per second takes several years to reach us from the nearest star outside our solar system. And we're told that there are literally billions of stars beyond what we can see. God simply spoke, and the sun and the moon and the stars came into being. Only God has the power to create such vastness. In Isaiah chapter 44, verse 24, God says, "I am the Lord that make all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself." You see, God alone did this. He's the only one that was there. As in the plants that he created, the whole universe reflects the work of a master designer. Now, centuries ago, men discovered that our planet Earth revolves around the sun. Then they realized that we're part of a solar system, that is, a group of planets which revolve around the sun. Then, as more powerful telescopes gathered and were developed, other galaxies were discovered. But in this, the 20th century, which is almost at a close, men were able to take a look inward at still another system, a system so similar in design that it overwhelms the mind to even consider it. Powerful microscopes revealed that the atom, once thought to be the smallest part of matter, appears to consist of tiny parts revolving around a center called the nucleus. The pattern in what some thought was the smallest part of matter closely resembles the pattern of our vast solar system. Now, how do you suppose this could be? There's only one answer, my friend. One designer created everything, from the smallest particle to the largest. From the smallest atom with its nucleus and protons and neutrons revolving around it, and God created it all. God and God alone created the universe and everything in it, and the stamp of his design is deeply imprinted on every single part. You see, God is everywhere all at once. We can only see a tiny part of the endless reaches of the universe. Yet God created even the most remote galaxies and stars. He created everything. Now, how do you suppose that God could have gotten to all those places that are countless light years apart? Well, let's look at Jeremiah 23, verses 23 and 24, which says, "Am I a God at hand?" In other words, am I a God that's here only and not a God afar off? "Do not I fill the heaven and the earth?" Oh, my friend, distance is no problem for God. He's everywhere. God is everywhere, all at the same time. He doesn't have to move to be there. He is there, my friend. He doesn't have to go anywhere. He is there. His presence is everywhere. He is God. He's not limited to your understanding and mine. Now, although God is everywhere in the universe at the present, he is distinct from it. You see, the idea that God is everything and everything is God is a concept that's totally foreign to Scripture. God, who is the Creator, is distinct from that which he has created. And it's critical that we understand that he is not simply everything that he has created, and everything that he has created is God, but he is distinct from it. You see, there's only one true God, not many gods. The Bible refers to the universe and everything in it as God's creation, not as a part of his being. Now, Jeremiah 10, verse 12 reminds us, he hath made the earth by his power. He hath established the world by his wisdom, and hath stretched out the heavens by his discretion. You see, a living God created it all, and he had the wisdom and the power and the discretion to put it all in just the exact order that it is. God's infinite wisdom and knowledge are displayed in the universe that he's created. Now, as our scientists have studied and experimented, they've discovered the physical laws that apply consistently throughout the known universe. These laws govern the physical behavior of all matter. Knowing these laws, men have been able to do amazing things, such as travel in space, and yet these discoveries are actually laws established by God and put into effect in the beginning when he created the universe. They don't change because God never changed, and man has to work within the system of the laws that God has created in the universe in order to do anything, in order to build a reliable spacecraft, a family automobile, or anything else. Now, you don't have to be a scientist or an engineer to see God's laws at work. All of us depend on these laws every day just to keep our feet on the ground, for example. And let me ask you, has there ever been a day when the sun didn't shine or didn't rise and set? Granted, it may have been hidden by the clouds, but just what it did yesterday and the day before, it always does, day after day. And the same thing with the moon. Now, Psalm 104, verse 19 says, he appointed the moon for the seasons, and the sun knoweth his going down. You see, the power of God is displayed in every little detail. The moon controls the tides, and they're limited to their boundaries. They only vary a certain amount every day of every year, according to the way God set it to be in the very beginning. And it's predictable because of that. Now let's go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 20. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and the fowl that it may fly above the earth, and the open firmament above the heaven. And God created the whales, and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters of the seas, and let the fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Now, friends, I've traveled in many parts of this world, but out in the tropics of Borneo, where I had the pleasure of living, I saw some of the most magnificent birds and tropical fish that you could find anywhere in the world. I'm telling you, God didn't run out of ideas on what he created to fly in the air and to swim in the sea either. His varieties are unlimited, and it shows us once again the demonstration of his almighty power. He knew how to do it, and he did it for man, which he was about to create. God did it because he loved us, my friend. He loved us, and he gives us such a variety to show us how very much he loves us and how infinitely powerful he is and all-wise, so that we will bow in reverence and respect to him and listen to what he has to say to us. Verse 24 tells us, and God said, let the earth bring forth the living creatures after his kind, and cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and the cattle after his kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Listen, friends, when God makes it, it's good. And he made it for you and I to discover, because he loves us, and now he has the earth ready for mankind, his next creation. Let's look at it the next time we're together on Bible Foundations. Thank you for being with me.